Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, as I said, there is a wonderful presence in here. Glory to God. Mom, I'm going to minister to you. Go ahead and come up just here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that the Lord died for was to ensure our healing and to guarantee it. And so we pray over your body right now. And we just command your body to receive the healing that God has for you. Receive it in Jesus' name. Be set free and loosed from that infirmity. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, and you're so good, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. So thankful for the teaching. I knew I was going to do that at some point tonight. I knew I was going to minister to her, but I didn't know when. And, you know, it's important to follow the Holy Spirit and, you know, to know when. You know, there's a lot of talk, and there's a lot of, debating out there of, you know, our kind of camp and what we do and, you know, laying on hands if this stuff is real and, you know, stuff like that or if it's God. And I'll just be honest with you, you know, I mean, I see it in the Word and I've learned how to follow the Spirit and that's the way that He leads. Following the Spirit is the most important thing that we can do. It's an amazing experience. It's not necessarily always spectacular in the sense that of fireworks or whatever. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Just, even as my wife was up here ministering the announcements, I just kept finding myself kind of being lost in that, being distracted by the Spirit. Amen? And even as I was praying, I just sensed myself being distracted by the Spirit. You know, and we need to live in such a way, and I want more. Well, Father, I ask you for more right now in my own life, you know, but we need to live in such a way that we get distracted by God, amen, that we, you know, so often we're distracted from God, let's get distracted by God, amen. Yeah. But this week He's been doing that a lot to me, and that's where the base of this message comes from tonight, but, you know, like I said, there's a lot of people that will argue these things and stuff like that. They can argue all day long. I mean, my heart is pure before the Lord. I do my best to stay in the Word and to follow the Word and you know the truth. And I also know that there's a spiritual side to things and there's some promises that are given to us, so on and so forth. So people cannot believe them. They can resist them, and that's fine if they want to do that and live that way. I'm not even going to argue about it anymore. I just know that I'm going to do my best to follow the Lord and according to the Spirit. And so, you know, we go in that flow sometimes, huh? Right? We'll have to, sometimes we're just going to have to go in a direction that doesn't seem right to our flesh. And when I say don't seem right, I'm not saying that, you know, we are convicted about it or whatever, but, you know, people have all kinds of thoughts on things. Well, I don't want to have thoughts. I just want to know what the Lord thinks. Amen? Because I've often said this, my thoughts got me nowhere quick. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So all the pain in Jesus' name goes, lifts off you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We need Him to lead. That's the name of the message tonight. We need Him to lead. Hallelujah. I'm preparing this message and having it come together. You know, the Lord just was showing me the importance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Lord. Is there something else, Lord? Oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you and glorify you. Thank you for your presence. Yes, yes, yes. Well, we'll see. If you bring that back up, Lord, make that clear. Thank you, Lord. So as we, you know, as we follow the Lord, as we learn to follow the Lord, the Spirit, of course, we understand that the Spirit works through the small inward witness, you know, and so often, the still small voice inside our hearts. And so often, you know, we can get distracted by, things in life. And when things in life are allowed, that's gonna hinder us from hearing that. It doesn't hinder His ability to speak. But He does want us to be able to listen. And one of the reasons that it's not always a loud booming voice is because God does want us to tune in. Amen. You know, it's there's you know, if you want a specific radio station, you have to tune in. I know we don't use radio stations probably too much anymore, but there is a tuning in process. And you know, you when you get close to it, you can, you know, you can crank it right over. But when you get close to it, you start just fine tuning. And I think there used to even be on some radios, there used to be a fine tuning where you could tune it most of the way, and then you would fine tune it to get just, you know, to get all the static gone and to be able to hear exactly what is coming across airwaves. Amen. Well, the same thing is with God. He wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to focus on Him. Amen. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to start over there in Proverbs 29. Glory to God. One of the things that I love that I've been set free from is that we don't have to preach a specific sermon just because it is a certain holiday or that there's certain things going on, that we follow the Holy Ghost in that. Amen. But this is very much, I mean, the whole, one of the things that the Lord did when he was, when he died and then was raised again, is he sent the Holy Spirit onto the earth and into his people. Amen. Amen. So if you found Proverbs 29, we're going to go to verse 18. Praise the Lord. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Amen. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, this scripture is really about, you know, telling you what's good and bad, amen, but it's focusing on the first part here is what's bad, is when there's no revelation that people cast off restraint. And, you know, this is something we could read over quickly, but really, you know, we think about this, if you think about it, and I had this thought, but wait a minute, restraints are bad. You know, restraint isn't a bad thing, or is a restraint is a bad thing, right? I mean, you think about restraint, like a handcuffs are restraints. Shackles and chains, those are restraints. And those, the stocks, remember the stocks they used to put people in and they lock them in? Those are restraints. They keep them restrained. But it says where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And so you think, well, where there's no revelation, obviously that's not good, because God wants us to have revelation and God wants us free. Praise the Lord. But would freedom mean that it's bad to cast off restraint? Because if you're casting off restraint, that's making you free. But here we see that there's something in that. Amen. There's something that the Lord is trying to believe to say here. And this will make a lot more sense as we go on, I'm sure. But when there's no revelation, when there's no understanding of the way that God works or the way things work, people just kind of cast off restraint. They just kind of go do about their lives and do what they want to do. Amen? Yeah. Now, you know, I was thinking as I was putting this together, of course, over there in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, it says, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But see, this is something that we see here, that a yoke is a restraint. Yeah. The Lord has called us to be yoked, yeah, to be tied to Him. Yeah. So when we think back to Proverbs there, where there is no revelation, where there's no understanding, where there's nothing revealed to people, they don't realize the importance of being yoked together with something else. They don't realize the importance of being restrained. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does with us. Amen. If you've had any experience with the Holy Spirit, you'll know that sometimes you have a go sign, and sometimes you have a stop sign, and sometimes you have a wait sign, and sometimes, you know, there's all kinds of different leadings, of course, but, you know, these are very, and that puts us in a form of bondage. We've become free from sin, but we've become bound to something else. And so where people, people will just kind of come up with ideas. This is why unrestrained Christians are not a good thing. You know, there's a lot of churches that I saw recently. It was a video of a man who did some goofy kind of worship and was trying to say, you know, that worship can only be judged by the person who is worshiping. And I don't believe that that's true, not according to the word, because the Bible tells us how we are to worship. In fact, Jesus said, those who worship me, the time has come where those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. Well, if the Bible says that there's truth, that doesn't mean that everything that's true to everybody or everybody's truth, that means the truth according to God. Whenever the Bible refers to truth, it's talking about absolute truth, which is God's truth, which is more than and better and more true than what your truth is. Amen. And so the trouble that we get as Christians, the trouble we can get into sometimes, is by casting off restraint. Yes, the Lord has made us free, but he hasn't made us free to go do whatever we want to do. He's made us free from sin. And we have to understand this, that we are, when the Bible says that we are freed from something, it is not freed from all. How many know that anarchy is never a good thing? Right. Now, anarchy never produces anything. What produces when there's the Bible says when the evil rule, the people mourn, but when the righteous rule, the people rejoice, right? So there is a ruling that is a good. And what do we know about ruling? It is a set of directives. You can do this, you can't do that. There's certain things you can't do. You can't go get in your vehicle, drive backwards 90 miles an hour down Route 6. You can't do that. A state trooper will meet you somewhere, or a quarry police or whoever will meet you, and they will tell you you can't do that and probably fine you for doing so. Amen? Restraints can be good. It's not always good to just cast off restraint. And so we have to understand that. But so many people, so many Christians think, well, we're free. Yes, we are free from sin. We are free from the bondage that sin places us in. We are free from the effects of the things of sin. Glory to God. We can be freed from those things, but we are not free according to the word. Hallelujah. We are not free completely because we're still bound to somebody or something, and we need to be. Glory to God. We need to be people who aren't casting off restraint. Praise the Lord. I notice when I need to get before him. I can sense a lack of restraint in my own life. It's almost as if things are falling a little bit apart. I've learned as I grow older and I grow in the things of the Lord, one of the things that I've learned is that I like less messing around. Like I don't mind playing, you know what I mean? I like to enjoy myself and stuff like that. I think my family would think that I'm a pretty fun guy, but there's always a limit that I have. And there's a time where things to me become too much. Amen. And I've noticed that in my own life, that when I get busy doing things and I get distracted by things, I start kind of casting off restraint and just kind of, going here and there and just all over the place. Amen. But the Holy Spirit starts moving on me. And I've been noticing this more and more in recent times where all of a sudden it's like, I need to get before the Lord. Yesterday, I had my family, my whole family together, meaning my, Mark lives down the road from us now, but him and Allison came and they had breakfast with us, which doesn't happen every morning. In fact, most mornings, we don't all have breakfast. We're all having breakfast at different times. But this yesterday morning, we're all able to come together. And it was a real blessing to be able to do so. Of course, I always wake up excited when I find out that those kinds of things are going to be that way. But after some time, and we spent some time together after some time, I just started sensing in my spirit, I need to get with the Lord. I need to get before the Lord. In fact, this afternoon, I had already prepared this message. I had thought I was going to preach a different thing in Mayville tomorrow. And I was heading somewhere, and as I was driving, I started downloading stuff. The Lord started speaking to me about things. The Holy Spirit started speaking to me about things, and I just knew. I was like, oh, this is good stuff. I need not to wait. And so I pulled off to the side of the road, got in a safe spot, and then I started taking notes. Amen. And so, this is exactly what we're talking about. We need to allow ourselves to be restrained by the Holy Spirit. We need not resist the things of God, but allow him to move on us and know when there's times. Surely there's times of play and times of enjoyment. But then there's also times where you start sensing, I need to get with God. Yeah. We need to be sensitive to that. As Christians, we need to. It's good that we're led. It's good that God restrains us. Sometimes God won't let you do, and so I find so many Christians, because what they do is they get more mindful of themselves than they do of God. And what happens is that when the Lord directs or something doesn't happen exactly the way they want it, immediately they draw back to this place of somehow God doesn't love me, or somehow God's mad or whatever, or this isn't right, or the word isn't working and all these things. But the thing that they're missing is that sometimes God restrains us because it's what's best. Yeah. Because what's better coming down the road. See, you don't know what's, you know, the Bible says that that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. But just because he's showing you things to come doesn't mean that doesn't mean that you're going to know everything all at that moment. He's going to deal with you as you walk through life. He's going to deal with you and restrain you or loose you to do whatever. Amen? So we need to be people that trust the Lord enough and trust his leading enough that when something doesn't happen exactly the way we wanted it to, we're okay with that. That we can be moved. And what I mean by that, I'm not going against the Bible. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord wants us blessed. The Bible tells us that the Lord wants us healed, these things. I'm not saying that we have to like change the way we believe. But what we have to do is we have to be okay with certain things at certain times. But really what it amounts to is we need to be more mindful of his Spirit dwelling on the inside of us than we are on the outside circumstances. Amen. I can set a sense of lack of restraint in my life, and I know that I need to get things ordered. You know, the Bible tells us that a righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord. That is a right man's steps, or a good man's steps, it says. We understand that it's the same thing. A good man is one who's following the Lord. Obviously, it's including women, too. A good person who is a righteous person, their steps are ordered by the Lord. What does that mean? It means that God lays out a plan. He lays out a set of steps, and as we follow it, as we step into those things, we walk further into his plan. Sometimes it's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard on our flesh to do so. In fact, I very rarely had God give me direction that's not hard on my flesh. Even driving and pulling off to the side of the road, that wasn't my plan. I didn't want to stop, but I followed the Lord. Amen. And I'm practicing at the smaller things in life to hear God's voice in the small things, because the small things matter. They matter to him. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, turn me to Romans 6. Without revelation, without understanding. You know, revelation is really, you know, I always say it's like those eureka moments. But revelation is really, it's when revelation of the word is what I'm speaking of specifically, when something of the word becomes so real to you that you know nothing else, that somebody couldn't change your mind on that thing. That's revelation. We should have revelation of the word. The ministry, ministering the word should give us revelation of the word. Every single time I'm sitting in a service and somebody anointed who is preaching is up there preaching or teaching, the Lord speaks to me about a lot of different things, sometimes not even what's about in the message, but will give me revelation of things. Amen? Amen. That is really, truly showing us things to come. Romans 6:16. Amen. The word helps us. It keeps us on track. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 6:16 says, do you not know? Let's see here. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Glory to God. So the first thing we're looking at here is that you're going to be slave to something. Now the presenting, the free will aspect of it is presenting ourselves to God or to sin. Or should say obedience of the Lord or sin. We're going to present ourselves in one of the areas. If I had not pulled over, it would have been I would have been presenting myself as a slave to disobedience or sin. Now, of course, that sin probably wouldn't cause my death or anything like that. But the point being is we don't even want to let those little things go. We want to follow God to obedience. Amen? Because that's what makes us righteous. Righteous people are the ones who receive from God. Unrighteousness cannot receive from God. Why? Because God is righteous. You can't mix oil and water and expect them to stay together. It doesn't work that way. Amen? If you want to be, or you want to have what righteousness produces, you have to then be righteous.
Yeah.
Well, how are we righteous? We can't be self-righteous. I know you're sitting there thinking, oh, Pastor Jeff, I can't be righteous. I'm not. But Jesus makes us righteous. He is our righteousness. How do we get into that? By obedience to Him, by obedience to His Word, by obedience to the Spirit of God. Amen? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from a heart, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. There's freedom in Christ. But there's also bondage in Christ.
Yes.
The bondage is of the Lord. But Jesus said to us, you know, we read that there in Matthew. Jesus said to us, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So you're going to be bound to me. You're going to be yoked together with me, but that's okay. It's not heavy. It's not going to do what the bondage of sin did. When you're in sin, one of the things that happens to you is you get into this place of unsurety. You get to that place where of heaviness, of weightiness, where you're not sure of going forward. See, the whole idea of faith is built on the very premise that we've been set free from that bondage. You can't have faith if you're in sin. And that's why people's lives that are lived in sin fall apart. Because there's no faith. Faith is what God has given us. It's the tool, it's the ability that God has given us to bring us out of any trial. Glory to God. You know, I contend with Christians often as a pastor. And what I mean by that is I contend with them. I'm fighting with them. I'm running the race with them. And we're fighting together. And I teach the word. And my wife teaches the word. And our hearts are to help people. But you know, sooner or later, those people have to pick up the word and run with it. Sooner or later, listen, it's going to be uncomfortable. Different things that happen in your life. We have to understand that's not God. He's given us the ability to get out of it. That's faith. But we have to walk in faith.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I was talking to some men of the church this morning, and I had this revelation. It was kind of funny. I was joking, but there was truth to it, and there was revelation in it, and I thought it was good. I said, you know, my desire is to wake up early every morning.
Yeah.
Amen? And so at one point, I'm not an early morning person. I'm a very late morning person. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, I can easily wait till 8:30, 9 o'clock before I'm getting out of bed. Sometimes I wake up, my alarm set every morning for 7:30, and usually I'm awake in that time period, but I can't find myself getting out of bed yet because I just don't want to. But I was saying to them, I was like, I have even used my faith. Lord, wake me up at 5 o'clock every morning. I want to be that person. I've used my faith to get there. But you know what I haven't used? I haven't used my works. See, works with faith. So in order to walk, I can be believing God for it, but I still have to physically bring myself out of bed. The Spirit of God, the grace of God connects with us as we are faithful to fulfill. See, so many people, they're going to God, they're just saying, Lord, deliver me from this, but then they do take no steps to be delivered. Deliver me from alcohol, Lord, but take no steps to be delivered. You have to physically put it down. Yes, you can believe for truth, but God isn't going to come down here and say, now I'm going to revoke your free will. It isn't going to happen.
Right.
It's the same thing with all the direction of God. When you look at the word, obedience is always about obedience. What do we say? If we look at a kid and said, that kid is disobedient, what are they doing? Not what they're supposed to be.
Right.
If that kid is obedient, what are they doing? What they're supposed to be. So therefore, if you're a Christian who is disobedient, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's nobody else doing it. It's you doing it. Why do we teach our kids obedience? We teach them to submit. We teach them to be restrained. We teach them bondage. If we don't teach them how to be led by the Holy Spirit. See, this is what's happened in so many circles, is that children are never taught to be subject to the things of God. To be bondage to the house of God, be bound, to be yoked together with Christ. They're taught about the freedom. God sets you free. And just put a period there and leave it at that. Well, what is freedom? What is freedom? We're Americans, by God, we're free. You know what that means? What does it mean? What are we free from? We're free up until they decide they don't want you free. I mean, that's the truth, right?
Yeah.
This is what you're going to do now, the government might say, because there's a pandemic and that's what we do because we don't have choice. How free are we then? You know, that's the point that I'm trying to, and I'm not saying it's bad to wear a mask or bad to get vaccinated. What do you got to follow the Lord and all that? My point that I'm trying to make is, what is freedom? Yeah. See, we teach people you're free and just put a period after it and just allow them to think in their minds what free could be. Yeah. Well, in my mind, when I get freedom, I'm like the puppy that gets outside the door when they're not supposed to. And it's gotten to that place where I can pick up a little speed and boom, I take off. Yeah. Right? And nobody calling me is going to bring me back. See, in my mind, that's what freedom is. That's what my natural mind. But see, that taking off always got me in trouble. There was no restraint. No restraint will bring you in trouble. So we have to be bound. We have to have some control. How can God order our steps if we're unordered? If we're just free, floating around like a butterfly with the wind, going whatever direction we want to do, folks, we can't live like that. And there's been a disservice done in churches to teach Christians to be that free. That free is not free at all. That's bondage of sin. Because it's disobedience to God. Freedom is a good thing. Praise the Lord. When it's the right kind of freedom. Amen? Listen, if you were out in a boat and you dropped your anchor, it's anchored, right? So it's restrained. Now, if you went swimming, say you're out in the middle of the ocean, you decide you want to go swimming, and you start going swimming around, and somebody cut that rope, and that boat starts floating away. What happens? That freedom ain't good anymore. Restraint is necessary sometimes to keep us grounded. But we have to understand these things, amen? Praise the Lord. Does anyone remember where I was? Praise God. Verse 18, I think we'll just go there. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more I'm going to say something here. Praise God. Teaching children to be obedient is not wrong. Even if you're an older parent looking back, you can understand this. Teaching children to be obedient. How do I want to say this? Praise God. Well, it will come back to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. How is that? Oh, there's something right there. We'll get back to it. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your member... Yes, I know what it was. Condemnation is... You know, some people like, I grew up in a strict religious home. Always hear this stuff. You know, I grew up in a strict religious home and they kept us from doing so much. You know, there's a difference between being put in restraint and, being condemned for, condemning people for having thoughts or doing things. You know, like there's abuse in religion that way. It is an abuse to tell people no or to put boundaries around them. Glory to God. But it is wrong to be to put people into condemnation for doing things. Amen. Our Father doesn't teach us to be condemning, and that's where religion has failed over the years because they put people in such bondage that they couldn't move, they couldn't breathe. You know, there is another side to that. But you know, to especially when it comes to keeping people free from sin or keeping people away from sin. That is a righteous thing, amen, because of the weakness of our flesh. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of the law of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. It is right that Christians live holy. In fact, the Bible tells us to. Paul is telling the Romans, as a matter of fact, you present your body as holy. Meaning that now you can see the error in that stuff, so you need to present it holy. You need to stop presenting it unholy. Amen? Glory to God. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. I love that. When you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That doesn't necessarily seem like a really good thing, does it? I'd rather be a slave of righteousness than a slave of sin. And then he asks a really important question here in verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Sin leads to death. Death is a result of sin. It is not a result of God. God does not cause death. He can't cause death because he is a life giver. Life, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. Life, he's a life giver. He gave us life. God did not cause death. Sin causes death. The more that we submit to sin, it causes death. And of course, there is a truth that we will all die, but that's because we are sinful by nature. We are born into that sinful nature, and so to a degree, but we can withhold that. Now, the death that that Christians have, though, is a different death than the world has. The death a Christian has is really a transition into other things. Yes, the body dies because what God is doing is he's allowing what has been corrupted to decay and to vanish away. So in that case, in that way, he has set us free even from that bondage. So death to a believer is not a bad thing. It is the ultimate freedom from the bondage of the flesh. Why does God keep us here at all? That's the key. He keeps us here to do his will, to fulfill his will, to get more people just like you and me to go to heaven. And this is why it's important that we be led. This is why it's important. It's good that God leads us. But I'm going to present this to you. Christians who refuse to be obedient to that are Christians who won't be effective. We have to be effective. We have to insist that we're going to be effective. Not getting ourselves into bondage. Receiving the joy that the Holy Spirit brings, knowing that He will make us fruitful. Amen. What fruit did you have then, and the things which you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. We have to understand as Christians, as believers, our life doesn't end. Everlasting life is ours. It belongs to us now. It's not something we're waiting for. We live in everlasting life. We shall never die. Jesus said, didn't he say that? He said, he who believes in me will never die. What does he mean by that? Your flesh will die, but your flesh is not who you are. Your flesh, like we are so flesh-minded, we've learned to be so flesh-minded that this life is everything to us, but this life is just a journey. This life is about the things that we're supposed to do. This life is a labor. It's what we're supposed to do while we're here and to take care of certain things to ensure other people have that same everlasting life because they will also live forever. It will be in a much different situation. It will not be in the presence of God. We have to stop being so earthly minded that we, and really, this is a time where I believe, and this is something that the Lord is calling us to, he's called me to do, but is to bring people out of that place of bondage to life, being constantly bound out. Well, we have to accomplish so much before we die. I have to have my bucket list. Your only bucket list should be doing the will of the Lord. Bucket lists are not of God. I'm just telling you, don't take what I'm saying out of balance. Yes, God wants us to do things here and to be blessed, but you know there's some things you'll want to do that you might never do here. And that's okay. Get okay with it. Why? Because if you're not to do that thing, then doing so is disobedience. Being disobedient is being a slave to sin. And being a slave to sin opens the door to what sin produces. And that's the opposite of life. You know, being obedient doesn't mean, well, I got to be in church 24 hours a day and I have to, it doesn't mean that either. There's a side of life that God wants us to enjoy, but our heart has to constantly be before him. Do you know the Holy Spirit makes it easy? Easy. The Holy Spirit is not hard to hear. But you have to be submitted to these things. You have to be submitted to these ideas before you'll ever hear what he says. You have to be submitted to the truth of the word, because the truth, you cannot be spiritual without this. You can think you're spiritual all day long, but if this isn't the first, if I don't care what you hear, wherever, if it doesn't line up with this, it's not God. God will always bring it back to his word. He'll always bring it back to his truth. We have to be willing to be changed and moved to this place of truth at all times. Glory to God. And one of those things is right here what we're seeing. Fruit to holiness. The fruits of our lives should be more holiness. Holiness is pure and clean before the Lord. Glory to God. Having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, we are slaves, or should be slaves, to the Holy Spirit. Because when we're slaves to him, we're slaves to God. Amen. James 3, 2 through 3 says, For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, all able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Now, I always used to preach these scriptures just from the standpoint of our words and how our words are important and what we say matters, and that is true. But I'm not backtracking on that, but I saw another side of these scriptures when I was reading these that I thought were pretty interesting. Praise the Lord. The words that we speak all come from the revelation that's on the inside of us. What you speak, or what you talk about constantly, the way you talk, is coming from somewhere else. It doesn't start with your mouth. If that was the case, it would just do whatever it would do. You ever heard of somebody running their mouth? Maybe they are a little bit like that, amen? But the words that we speak, they come from a place of understanding or revelation, what you know. It may be God, it may not be God, but it comes from your level of revelation. Amen. It could be said here, if anyone doesn't stumble in what he does with what the Lord says to do, he is a perfect man. Yeah. Right? We could equally say that. The word here, logos, is the same word that John 1 uses when it describes Jesus and says the word was God, the word was with God. It's the same word as the word here, word. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So it's the same logos. We understand that it means the same thing. Amen. Wild horses. I had to ask my, I'm gonna say sister, but she's gonna be my daughter. Praise the Lord. We just received that as so right now. But Allison, I had to ask her about horses because grew up with horses. Thank you. That's a good way of saying it. I was gonna say she's horsey, but that just didn't sound like right. Praise God. I said it anyway, so glory to God. You got my wife's definition, my definition. My definition of horsey means grew up with horses. So that, just in case I ever use that again and my wife's not here, amen. But I asked her about that. You know, a wild horse, when you first get a horse, you have to break them. Right? That's the word. You have to break them. You have to restrain them. Why? Because a wild horse doesn't want you on its back. It doesn't want to be in a field, a pasture. It wants to run. It wants to do what it wants to do, right? Amen. So wild horses have to be broken of that. But wild horses are useless for humanity, right? And some people will be like, well, that's the way it should be. No, it's not the way it should be. Why? Because God put them, he put us here to have dominion over all things. What does that mean? When you have dominion over something, it means you have control over it. You know, I mean, tell a person that. Tell a person who only has horses to plow their field, tell them that the horse should have freedom. Glory to God. Now, I'm not saying we abuse animals or something like that. Of course, we don't do that. But animals are here for that purpose. And they, regardless of what some people like to say nowadays, that's what they're here for. They're here for a purpose. A horse that's just running wild is useless. But you think about a horse that is trained and taken care of. They're quite useful, right? Amen. They can do things that we can't do. But the same thing is with us. You know, when we're looking at this, if we understand, if we're unbridled, if we're just out of control, you know, the idea here, we see this, is putting a bit in a horse's mouth to control it. The bit that's put in your mouth is the word and the word of God. This should be controlling you. This should be directing your life. If the word of God is proceeding out of your mouth, glory to God, your life will proceed in a direction that is fruitful to holiness. That's what these scriptures are telling us. It's not just talking about, well, this is just how we control horses by putting something in its mouth. That's not what these scriptures are focusing on. It's focusing on the direction that we're supposed to go. Praise the Lord. The words we speak come from the revelation on the inside of us. If the words we speak are wrong, if they're in error, then our life is going to be in error. This is why it's so important for us to understand the word and to understand truth. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Turn with me to John 16. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 16. We're going to verse 1. Praise the Lord Jesus. John 16, 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Glory to God. Didn't we read that up there in James 3, 2? For we all stumble in many things. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that you should be made, should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Do you know and that's what I mean, there's Christians that are debating things that do really in public forums that shouldn't be debated. They're coming to trying to tear down this ministry and trying to tear down that. And you know, Jesus, the only ones that Jesus went after were the ones who were truly the scoundrels, amen? The ones who were just doing it just for themselves and stuff like that, you know, and really the ones that were coming after him specifically. He wasn't seeking out the Pharisees. He didn't go after the Pharisees to just tear them apart. He, for the most part, was leaving them alone. But when he went after them was when they tried to tear apart what he was doing, and he responded, right? Glory to God. But there's a lot of religious people that think they do God a service. There's one minister, I think, from California that I think of often when I think of this, hates people like us, thinks we're going to hell. Just telling you the truth. And he preaches along those lines. He would, like, I've seen just the names of several of his sermons, and you can tell right from the name of the sermon what it's all about, and it's all about ridiculing this doctrine or ridiculing that doctrine or ridiculing in this church or that church. God has never called us to that. What Jesus told Peter was to feed his sheep. He said, feed my sheep. What is a feed? A feeding is something that nourishes them. That makes them produce more. Amen? Glory to God. Feeding doesn't indicate what you keep from them. Hallelujah. And then I'm not saying that there's never correction. Sure, there should be correction. But if your ministry is built on tearing other ministries down, there's something that's not godly in that mix. Amen? And so we have to be careful of those things. I have to be careful of those things. I don't want to just tear people, because I don't know specifically how every man or woman, I can tell if something, you know, there's different things that we can preach against doctrine, certain doctrines that we do sometimes and stuff like that, but we don't go after people specifically just to tear people down. Amen. But it says here that they'll kill you thinking that they're offering service, God's service. But what is this person? This is a person who's not led by the Holy Spirit. This is a person who's never learned to submit to the Holy Spirit. Amen? And these things they will do to you because they have not known not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So we see this, that Jesus, his purpose in going away was to be able to leave something with us. Amen, or at least part of it. There was much more to it. The disciples, and they were so focused on that Jesus wouldn't be with them anymore that they couldn't see that he was doing a greater thing. See, Jesus could lead his people from the outside. He could say, you know, come with me. And then we're going to go over here. And come with me. We're going to go over here. And let's go to the other side. And all that stuff is great. And we think, man, it would be wonderful if Jesus would just come here and tell me what to do. Have you ever thought that? But Jesus did something he said was better. I said, Jesus did something he said was better. Jesus said, I'm here with you now, but I'm going to do something that's better. I'm leaving. And I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that he may dwell with each one of you. And you can all be led. You can all know. We should be. It is good that we are led and restrained by the Holy Spirit, that we are, that we find that place where we, where we can have his direction in all areas of our life. But notice this. He said, you're focused on the wrong thing. You're focused on me going away. How many Christians do that? And let me ask you honestly, how many times have you did that? Something's happened in your life and you're so focused on that thing that you can't even see what God is doing. You couldn't see it because you're so butthurt that you can't be changed by it. You know what I mean? I mean, people get that way, don't they? They get so, I'm so angry because this wasn't what I expected, not even considering that God could have a purpose in it. I have learned so many times in my life that there are things, hallelujah, that God will have me lay down, and it's better that he did. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have so many examples in my life of things that I thought that I needed, and I'm living so much better today because I learned to put them down, because I learned to be okay with not having them. Now, I'm not preaching the side like God just takes everything from you and life isn't blessed and all that stuff, and it's always got to be pain and suffering and things like that. Listen, everything that happens, there is a cause to it. You have to understand that. You have to understand, number two, that the not every cause is of God. If you can understand those two things, there's a lot of things in life that will make a lot more sense to you. There's a lot of things in life you'll find a lot more peace in. I said there's a lot of things in life you'll have a lot more peace in when you understand that everything that happens has a cause and not every cause is God. Yeah. It's dangerous when people think that God causes everything, that God promotes this. You know, it's like we so often look at the place where God restrains us instead of looking what he's keeping us from. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. My little dog, we have a little dog. She's just a miniature dog. She's like a miniature dog. That's how small she is. But she's got a big personality, you know. I mean, she's not very tough. But she kind of thinks she's tough sometimes. And, you know, like when somebody comes to the door, she's tough. She barks. But then as soon as they come in, she rolls over on her back. You know, here's my belly. And we all know that a dog exposing its underside is a sign of its submission and weakness, stuff like that. Well, my dog, when we let her out, she's really good. We can take her outside without a leash. I mean, she'll stay right with us and stuff like that for the most part. Or if we call, she'll come back over. But every once in a while, when we open the door to let her out to go to the bathroom, which is really handy to have a dog like that when it's time to go to the bathroom, especially when it's snowing or raining and so on and so forth. But there'll be deer in the backyard sometimes or something like that. And she always wants to take off running after. And I always think, you know, it's funny when she does that. I always think, what are you going to do when you get there? You know, so many times we just take off running after things, not thinking about what we're going to do when we get there. We just see this thing out there. Well, that's new. So I'm going after that. We don't even consider what's there when we get there. But at any rate, one day I was in my back room there where I do my studying and stuff and sitting, and I was just looking out the window, and we had a Fisher cat walk right by our back door, right by the back porch, the deck, and right through the area where my dog goes to the bathroom. Just kept walking, was just walking through, and walked into the woods. Now, if you don't know what a Fisher cat is a very nasty little animal. They're the weasel family. They look cute, but they are vicious. When they see something, they are the type of animal that when they see something move, they need to destroy it. That's how their instinct is. This would make a quick work of little Cassie. And so now I need to have more restraint when we let her out. We need to know where, because I'll tell you what, if that Fisher cat was anywhere near there, that stupid dog would go after it. I'm telling you, right? She would go after it, get to it, and find out very quickly it was a bad idea. There's no defense that dog would have against that. So often in life, we're doing the same thing. We're trying to run after something, and the Holy Spirit's saying, don't go there. Don't do it. Amen? It's good that we're led. It's good that God put that on the inside of us. Why? Because Jesus knew that him being here present couldn't be, he couldn't be with each one of us at all times. But the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit is in each one of us, is in every believer, leading and guiding specifically for your life, and will show you things to come. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so, praise the Lord, we understand. And so we don't want to just be completely free in the sense of what most people think free is. Yeah. You know, I even see people who live fairly free lives that of myself have... That I've envied. You know, there's people that are like, you know, they're just driving around. They sell everything off and they're just out there driving around or doing something like that. Well, listen, that might sound good in theory. It might sound like it's a blessed thing, but there's a lot of things you're going to miss out on life, including the plan of God. God has not called us to this life to just float around and to be butterflies in the wind, going where we want to go, fulfilling every desire that we have. That's just like that dog running after that fish. There's things out there. And one of the biggest things that takes you from is it takes you out from the protection of the Lord. And who would want to do that? Who would want to actually honestly, I mean, if you're a decent person, would you want to honestly stand before the Lord and have him say, I had so much for you to do, but because you refused, these people went to hell. It was more important for you to just go off and have perpetual vacation than it was to follow the Lord. We have to be mindful of these things, you know, because they seem like they would be a blessing. There is a day that they're going to be paid for. Amen. I want to read this last verse to you, John 16:13, that we just read in the Amplified. Glory to God. Or we didn't read it. I want to read John 16:13 in the Amplified. It says, "But when He, the Spirit of Truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all the truth." The whole truth, the full truth. For he will not speak on his, he won't speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell you, he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is going to be a fortune teller, but what he does is he reveals to us the things that we need to know next. Yeah. And we have to understand that, you know, some people, they think of the Holy Spirit as like as some kind of oracle, like I'm going to get, you know, a prophetic message and stuff like that. And not that there isn't prophetic messages, but by and large, we are not to be led by prophetic messages. Prophetic messages they led the people in the Old Testament, but not the New Testament. Today in the New Testament, if you get a prophecy, it should only align with something that's in your heart. Either align with something in your heart or its direction that you needed specifically, and it sat right, you knew that it was God. Amen. And so we have to understand these things. Amen. And so the truth-giving Spirit, he's going to teach us and lead us and guide us into the truth. Amen. Into all the things that we need to know, all the things that we need to do. And in that place is the true blessing of God. Amen. So we need to be led, folks. It's good that we're led. It's good that God has restraint. Let's have the revelation, not cast off restraint, but rather receive the restraint.